Hi,
I'm Sally Njogu from Nairobi,
Kenya.
Kenya.
Hi everyone, I'm Mugwe Njuguna from Nairobi, Kenya.
So we're going to be looking at a few aspects of mental health, from definition to how we perceive what it is. Our cultural opinion about them, what we or how we think or deal with mental health as different genders, and how to just look into it in these times of COVID-19 and isolation and being in quarantine and being some of us being alone and some of us being with our families. So I think we'll start with a definition of mental health.
I have none.
You have none. All right, so the
I think we could be like, before we get into a dictionary like definition,
mm-hmm.
What do you think mental health means or is?
I think it's being aware of how you are feeling. Probably changes in how you're thinking or perceiving life. And seeing any changes in how you react to things that are happening around you. What's yours?
I have not read up on this topic. So the first thing that came to my mind about mental health is mad people.
Okay.
But I guess that also it stems from how we have as culturally, we've been brought up to think about mental health. Mental health has always been identified with the crazy person in the village. Every village has a crazy person. So it's always been identified with the crazy person in the village, with the lunatic in the village, or in the city, or in the town. So that's the first thing that came to my mind. But being aware of discussions around mental health, I do tend to agree with Sally on it's about how we perceive the differences of what's going on in our lives, how we are able to process our thoughts, our feelings, and in turn how we get to project these feelings and this
expressions.
Exactly.
Okay.
Those ones.
So do you look at the definition?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see how off we are.
So the definition, according to Medical News Today, it says that mental health refers to cognitive, behavioral, and emotional well being. It is all about how people think, feel, and behave. People sometimes use the term mental health to mean the absence of a mental disorder. I did not know that.
It sort of makes sense. Like, if you're not mentally ill, then you are quite healthy.
Well, he says that. So when we're discussing about mental disorder and we're looking at different mental disorders, but then again, you were saying the absence of a mental disorder doesn't particularly make you healthy.
Yes. You do not have to be bipolar to, or have ADHD or OCD in our different levels. For you, if you don't have to have those sort of conditions for you to say that you're mentally healthy.
In this day and age, no, first of all, before I say that, everybody has that weird thing about them.
Yeah, everybody's mad to a degree, right?
Yeah, and that makes you unique. That is your
humanness.
Like your own unique trait as a person. So everybody has a weird something about them. Then
mine is a tooth.
But behavioral doesn't have to be physical. But in this day and age, as you're seeing things on social media, everybody's bringing out their crazy for everybody else to enjoy. And you'll find different people are similarly crazy and they're enjoying weird things. For example, have you seen, you saw what I sent you for somebody popping a pimple? You do know there are pages like on Instagram and Facebook just for that, for people to enjoy, like people being, something being removed from other people's bodies. People I know, it's weird. And everybody has brought out their crazy and found other crazy people who enjoy what they enjoy.
Could we use, people have brought out their uniqueness so that other unique people can see? Because we are discussing
weird is health. Normal now. Weird is normal. If you're normal, you're weird.
But going back to topic, so mental health is all about how we perceive, how we process everything that is going on around us. From our African culture, actually both of us are from a tribe in Kenya called the Kikuyus, and it's the largest tribe in Kenya. I'm thinking, yeah, it is the largest tribe in Kenya. And we have always been taught from way back that there was nothing like mental illness. Like, if you feel bad, go do something, come back. You know, go take a beer, talk to your boys. That's from a guy's perspective. But don't, what do you call it?
Don't mope around and
don't cry. Don't be a sissy. That was but it. As that's man for up,
guys though.
Man up. Take whatever it is whatever is happening. Take it in stride and move on. That is how I was brought up. That's how my dad was brought up. I believe that's how my grandfather was brought up. God rest his soul. And it's interesting that as much as that's how I was brought up, that's not how I'm bringing my son up. I think in this modern times, my son will come to me and tell me about something that, or somebody hurt his feelings. I still have the urge of telling him, dude,
man up.
Take it inside and move on, man.
But it's weird. Like, when did that change? Because I was also not brought up the same way. But that's, again, like, for now, Paula, that's how I'm bringing her up. You have to sit and listen and talk and figure out what they're feeling or what happened and how it made them feel. It's all I about think you're talking. Making
our kids soft. Anyway,
do you think so?
That I'm making,
but I think we were damaged. We were damaged.
Maybe not. Maybe
you couldn't. You did not have a chance to be depressed. You did not have a chance to mope. You did not have a chance to sit down and think about your life. You, it's either this or this. You do what your parents say.
But to be truly honest, I, looking back at my life, I had a very nice childhood. I had a very good childhood. I cannot complain about my childhood. As much as I was told, you know what, you need to take things in stride. When it came to the point of initiation into adulthood, you're told, dude, there's no crying from now on. That was like one of the rules.
It's not just our tribe. I think all tribes, in that part, you're told not to cry.
At when, that point, when, you when you're going through the pain, you're where you learn to suck it in and take it in stride, as in it's baptism by fire. And that was when I was 14 years old. No, yeah, I was 14 years old. I just turned 14 when I went through that. And during the process of healing, there was a lot of bullying. There was a lot of flogging.
No, but I think that's a thing.
There's a lot of flogging.
Why does that happen though?
Are you man enough to take up beating, sort of?
Why would other people want to take part in trying to?
I sat with some elders, and they actually sort of enlightened me slightly on that, and it sort of made sense. They basically the reason behind it was, the world out here is tough.
Yeah.
You have to be able to take the world's beating and move on.
Yeah.
You know, take it in stride. You learn that if you're hit from the left, you either decide you're still going to the left, or decide you're going to turn to the right, or run straight forward. But that was the lesson behind it. It wasn't done out of malice. It was done out of the fact that the lesson was, life is hard.
And weirdly enough, the people who did that to you are still your friends.
Oh yeah,
and close to you.
They're very good. they're very good friends. It's weird. And people who that was done to us, we are good friends. So those who flogged us and those who we were flogged together.
It's a thing. It's a Kenyan thing. It's an African thing, because our cultures are quite similar across Africa. And same thing, as in someone tells you something they went through in their childhood from West Africa or South Africa, and you feel that it's relatable because you went through the same things.
Wakanda forever.
But there's nothing like, you need to talk to someone, you know, especially for you guys. For us, it's I think in our DNA to talk, to express ourselves, to cry, to overreact, and
that's for women and children.
So we just you know, you build up some pain, you go and talk to someone close to you, your friend, and that goes. But for men, I don't find you guys very expressive.
Not to you.
To whom?
Not to women.
We don't have to be expressive to women.
We've always been taught that, yes, you do need to seek counsel. You do need to talk out a few things here and there. If something is troubling you, do speak up. But you're not speaking up to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You're either speaking up and talking to your uncle.
Yeah.
Preferably on your mother's side.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why. You had people from the same age group.
Yeah.
You could speak to people of the same age group, your uncle or uncles, or actually now, if you have a mentor within the society, they are a person you'd go to. Even in traditional times, people did have mentors, as we still do have them now. Probably they were not known as mentors then, but there were still mentors in one or the other. So we do speak. We tend to make jokes out of a lot of these things, but men actually still do talk about it. It's in recent times that you find men are becoming more and more vocal about how they're feeling.
Yeah.
So you went through a divorce. How did that make you feel? Whose fault was that? How are you coping with it now?
And who are they talking to?
You have a partner that, say, passed away. How do you get through that? Your parents? Because we are getting to that age where our parents are getting old, and they pass on. And how do you deal with that pain? How do you deal with that anguish?
Mm-hmm.
And people are beginning to speak. but they are speaking to each other. A good friend of mine started a podcast last year. It's a podcast specifically dedicated to men,
mm-hmm.
and speaking about issues that we as men go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from his own personal journey.
Yeah.
The podcast I'm talking about is called Living Truthfully, by Amani Maranga. And the very first episode is, it's very close to home in the sense that he's talking about divorce and his divorce, how raising now his kids in a separated family, how he feels about that, how what they had to go through with the children,
mm-hmm.
and his ex-wife. And it hit close to home because we are in an age where guys get married, get kids, get divorced.
Yeah, a lot of that is happening now.
But we always know, or we've always assumed that the men are
at fault.
Yeah, there's an at fault bit, but the men don't have feelings towards that.
Yeah, they just like up and move that, on that and union. Go on with their life.
But it hurts. It hurts them as much as it hurts the women, as much as it hurts the kids. But men don't talk about it to anyone. They will get to know somebody had, they'll be like, how did you deal with this? And men are very logical beings. So we will be like, how did you deal with this issue? 1, 2, 3, 4. And we won't go into how I actually felt about it.
Yeah.
Which is like I dealt with issues of, what do you call this thing? Issues of paying school fees, issues on discipline, now that I'm not living with my kids. How do I ensure that they are...
Those are the big things. Do you guys deal with the things of you've moved from your marital home, you're starting life afresh, you're looking for a new house, the same things you probably be worried about as a bachelor moving out from your parents' house. Are those things that you think about? How am I going to live now that we are not in the same house?
That's an issue.
I have this and this and this.
That's an issue. But you see, the thing is... people do not understand that depression is a real issue.
Yeah.
For example. And from an African standpoint, by the way, depression is not a problem.
It actually is not.
It recently, again, as much as a lot of things are coming, I think, to the fore, now in terms of mental health, depression was not taken seriously until people actually started committing suicide, throwing themselves from their
off buildings,
off their office buildings, hearing cases of people having murdered their partners and their kids in their
that's
houses.
A lot in the last few months. And I think it's all about mental health, because why would you hurt someone you're married to, have children with?
Again, the definition actually says it. It's how we process.
And do you think the fact that we are in quarantine and you're with these people, spending more time than you would,
mm-hmm.
if things were normal, are they making these things escalate? Because normally we'd still hear the same stories, but not in such frequency.
Well, COVID has brought in interesting dynamics when it comes to mental health and people staying at home. This is how I view it. I think I have two arguments about it. So One, you're spending a lot more time with people whom you are not spending time with.
Yeah.
So probably all those small individualistic traits that somebody has that tick you off, you get to see them all the time. So they tick you off even more.
Yeah.
That's why. Secondly, I even lost that point now. Pause. So the second bit is, as in my view, is when we were able to go out freely, we had different forms of how we used to deal with the simple stresses in life. So I'm home, my wife has said something, it's annoyed me, I'll go I'll go out of the house in the morning, I'll go to work, I'll probably pass by the gym, or I'll go have a drink with my friends, and I come home a happy person.
Yeah, and you're fine.
And you're fine.
Right from now, 100 to 0 again.
Right now,
you're ready.
I can't meet with my friends, social distancing.
Yeah.
I can't go to a pub.
Restaurants and bars are closed.
I can't go to the gym.
You can't closed. Travel. You can't leave town.
In other parts of the world, it's even worse off that you can't even leave your own house.
Yes.
So you can't even go take that walk, take in a bit of fresh air and leave and come back home feeling refreshed. So for me, those are the two ways in which guys actually are unable to deal with.
I hadn't thought about that actually. That's interesting.
Mental issues right now.
And I think in Kenya, as much as you've had the stories of people who are actually trying to do road trips and getting together with friends, it's not even a matter of they are not following the rules of social distancing and quarantine and all that and isolation, but the craving for human connections.
Well, humans, we are social beings.
Yes, and the fact that you want to meet your friends and have a good time and relax and go home and, you know, that I think people at this point is when you find people are knowing the importance of social gatherings, social places. Connections. Yeah, social connections. Because it's weirdly that now that's when we want to go and see our friends and we can't. And phones, as much as technology, Zoom, we are here FaceTiming, but it's not the same thing.
That's true.
It's not the same thing. People in prison get to make phone calls, you know? It's just about that freedom.
You said that and it reminded me. I'm almost 40. And in the almost 40 years of my life, all I know, the only way I know how to say hi to my aunties
is a hug.
Is a hug. So comes COVID-19, and you see your auntie whom you haven't seen in like 2 months or 3 months, and you're like, "Hey, hi, how you doing?" And
there's then you go to dance.
you go to hug, and then you're like, "Can we?"
Shake hands, but
no. No, shaking hands is so businesslike.
You want to high five? No high fives, none. And you just end up having this namaste move.
It's very awkward. It's very awkward, but as human beings and us being social beings, we crave to be around our own type. And interestingly enough, I always thought that this was for children only, because when raising my kids, I know that kids interpret time, that quality time that you spend with them as love.
Yeah.
They interpret touch as love. Yeah. Not beating, but how you touch them.
Hugs, it's cuddling.
It's hugs, it's the kisses on the forehead.
Yeah.
And I realize that it's not just them. It's not just kids. It's us.
It's everybody.
It's everyone. me not hugging my auntie, I'm unable to show her how much I've actually missed her and I love her.
Yeah.
And it's awkward because you want to express yourself that way. We are used to expressing ourselves that way.
Yeah. I think we took that for granted. We really took those things for granted.
But one thing that I know that we are doing a lot and we're doing quite well in terms of trying to mitigate about from our friends, our family going into simple mental illnesses like depression is that we're having a lot of phone calls.
Yeah.
We talk a lot. I think that's a nice African trait.
FaceTiming.
My sister yesterday wrote on our WhatsApp group and suggested to all of us, my cousins and I, that we need to have a hangout. But the hangout will be virtual.
It's not the same.
Yeah, but we'll be able to see the faces of our cousins.
Yeah.
I have cousins. I have a cousin who's stuck in the US. I have a cousin who's stuck in Canada.
Yeah.
I have another one who's in Belgium. And it would be really nice to see them. I have one who's right here in Kenya. I talked to him this morning, but he's stuck in another town. He cannot move. I cannot go to see him. Yeah. He cannot come to see me.
Yeah.
We cannot move in between towns. He's in a town called Machakos. I'm in Nairobi. We can't go see each other. But it would be really awesome to actually see how my cousins are doing as much as we cannot meet physically. So we are learning how to deal with communication, meeting. Technology is awesome. We're doing it virtually. And we just sort of help each other get through.
That's true. But I think the upside to this whole pandemic is that people are now making the things that were not as important to be important. It's family, it's friends, it's those small things.
Those things that didn't matter before,
yes, are making,
but are really important.
Yes.
Now we realize the importance and they have gone up the priority list.
And things we thought we needed have become a luxury. You don't really need other things.
I have 3 cars. I don't need all 3 cars.
Yeah. So what are the ways of, as much as we're in an African setting, I think keeping your mental health in check is to just be open about how you're feeling. You know, have that clique of people that you talk to. Have some time to yourself, I think. Think about your life. Think
we
about
have
what
a
you're
lot
feeling.
Of time to ourselves.
Yes, but I think people are sometimes, we get busy with nothing and really don't think about what's happening to ourselves. Because sometimes I wish I was alone, but sometimes I wish
you're alone with someone.
Yeah.
You're alone, but you're not alone.
I like being alone, but I realize I don't like being alone. It's, I don't know, I don't think I would be able to take all this in just a setting by myself.
I think this period of time for me is a time of reflection. We're able to reflect and see what is important to us, who is important to us, and devise ways in our busy schedules to maintain that connection, maintain that relationship. And I just hope and pray that people actually do get to keep those connections.
Yeah.
And cultivate,
not to be taken over by our busy lives.
Yes, and cultivate those relationships a bit further.
Yeah.
We always chasing monetary currency, but it's become more and more clear that social currency is actually pretty strong.
Yes, yes, it is.
And it's interesting that it is. But social currency and is what is going to keep us largely sane.
This is that moment that you usually see that is said in like times of the end times, like when everything else has gone, what are you left with?
Yeah.
When your jobs, your travel, your money, what are you left with? I think this is when people are answering those questions.
And I finally know who's family and friends.
Yep.
That's interesting. Even in this African culture of ours, things are changing.
Parting shots. Love yourself.
Get to understand yourself.
And family is everything.
Cultivate your relationships. Talk to people.
Yeah.
Have. You don't have to tell, because I think we're also bound to certain secrecies.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't quite tell everybody everything. So you would have that one person you tell something, and so you might have five or four different people whom you actually tell different parts of what's going on in your life and get their perspectives and stay sane.
Stay safe, stay sane.
Stay at home.
See you on the other side.